the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated for the confession of forgiveness and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Forgiveness, confession of forgiveness found on page 95 in the front of the hymn. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 858. We sing verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Hymn 858, verses 1 and 3. Pray this prayer together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray.
Almighty God, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us as disciples of your Son to love the world with compassion and mercy, that your name may be known throughout the earth. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. As we listen to the readings today, I want you to listen for the word all, because that's kind of what stood out to me. The first reading from the Old Testament is from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 to 8. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from God's people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to God, to love the name of the Lord, and to be God's servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel. I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 67. I will read the light part if you will read the bold. To the leader with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us.
And make God's face to shine upon us.
That your way may be known upon earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase.
God, our God, has blessed us.
May God continue to bless us.
Let all the ends of the earth
the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading from the New Testament, Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 2a and 29 through 32. I ask then, has God rejected God's people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected God's people whom God foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that God may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel for today, that's the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And Jesus' disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, and saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 15th chapter, and Isaiah 56. Let's pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28, is one of the most disturbing passages in the Bible. Go home and read it again. For 2,000 years, it's been argued about how the dialogue between the woman and Jesus went and what the verbiage really was. A woman comes and encounters Jesus in the Canaanite region. She has five strikes against her. Her ethnicity, she's Syrophoenician, okay? She's not Judean or Israelite or a Hebrew. She's Syrophoenician. Her heritage is not Hebrew, okay? Her religion is a Canaanite religion, a pagan religion. And yet, okay, you got to give her credit because she knows who Jesus is. She knows Jesus' fame. She knows that he exorcises demons, exorcisms. And then she knows to call him the Son of David. That's a messianic thing that even the disciples don't use. Lord, Son of David, heal my daughter. And then, as we've talked about many times, her gender is against her 2,000 years ago. She's female. And then the fifth strike, she's out, is that she's unclean. And she announces that because her daughter is demon-possessed, and she's come from her daughter, and so that makes her also unclean. The woman's behavior is not acceptable in public either, whether it be in Jerusalem or in Samaria or in Canaan, even, a Canaanite. Women don't come up to men in public and shout at them. Unless they're out of their minds. Women didn't speak to men in public. You just didn't do that. And yet, that shows who this woman is. She is that desperate for her daughter's well-being that she will go against all convention. I think she actually knew who Jesus was because of the title Son of David. Lord here is just like Sir. Sir, Son of David, though, is a messianic thing. And she's heard of his fame, and so she's beside herself, and she wants her daughter to be healed. What parent doesn't do anything possible for their son or their daughter?
especially when they're sick, let alone demon-possessed. We could do a three-hour-long Bible study, which we won't do here from the pulpit. Ask me someday to do that. The real question that we need to jump to now from this dialogue between Jesus and this woman, who remains nameless, is to whom is God's mercy, compassion, and grace and love to be given and shown? That's really the crux of this whole gospel reading. To whom should God's mercy, if you listen to all the lessons really closely, all is a great word, but also mercy. Whom does God show his mercy and compassion to? Kyrie eleison is that Greek phrase that is spoken by the church for 2,000 years in the Old Testament, New Testament, and 2,000 years of Christendom. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. It comes from the prophet Hosea. Jesus quotes it twice in Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus quotes Hosea 6:6. That's how you can remember it. Hosea 6:6. God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Mercy, compassion, love. That's what it's all about. But who gets it? 2,000 years later, we're still fighting. Do the Baptists deserve God's mercy? Or the Methodists? Or those other Lutherans? Or the Roman Catholics? Or the Presbyterians? Or whomever you want to put in the place? Let alone getting into social things, like all those people, you know, those people on the other side of town. Should God show them mercy and grace? Mercy, God's mercy, is the cornerstone of Jesus' critique of the Jewish people, of the Judeans in Jerusalem. He goes back to Hosea 6:6. God says, I desire mercy and compassion and love for one another. Not sacrifice. Take your bulls and your sheep and your turtle doves back home. Whom is God's love for? Even Jesus, in this disturbing passage from chapter 15, says, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. I didn't come for the Canaanites. Men or women or children, I came for the lost sheep of Israel to lead them from being astray because they already were in a relationship with God. They know God loves them, they just don't pay attention to it. Unfaithful bride that they are, God being the bridegroom. Whom is God's love for? That's the age-old question from the Old Testament to the New Testament to Christendom for 2,000 years. How dare God love those people over there? Our church split in 2009 as a national church, ELCA, and in 2010 as a congregation, St. John's Lutheran Church, over who should be loved by God. Those people can't be loved by God. I still have people that come up to me and tell me that women should not be pastors or bishops or any leadership in the church. I still have people coming up to me telling me how we as the ELCA are going to hell because we allow them, fill in the blank, we allow them to worship with us and to be a part of the congregation. Really, folks? I thought we fought that battle years ago. Women? We're putting women down? We're putting foreigners down? People who are sick? We're displaced? Really? In John 14, we were in it for the past two or three weeks. I won't rehearse that. But Jesus shows mercy. If you remember it, Jesus shows mercy and compassion because of John the Baptist's death. He goes off twice in 14 to be by himself and pray. And the people won't let him do it. They come to him because they've heard of his healings and they want compassion shown to them and mercy shown to them. And he shows them mercy and compassion. Even in the midst of his grief. The crowds came to Jesus for healing and mercy. And they stayed so long, he fed them, the 5,000 men and the 25,000 others with them.
The disciples, especially Peter, during the storm on the Sea of Galilee, wanted mercy. Lord, save us! The same thing the woman's crying. Lord, save us! And Jesus shows Peter, of all people, mercy and compassion. Even when Jesus calls him out of the boat to walk on the water, and he does it, you know, miracle of miracles, Peter walks on water too, and then he doubts, and he mistrusts, and he sinks. And Jesus reaches out in his mercy and compassion, grabs him by the hand, and pulls him out of the water and back into the boat. Who deserves God's love? That's the bottom line. Our national church fought about it for 50 years. It was a 50-year-long struggle. Women in ministry and who belongs in the pews and that. And in 2009, when they made a vote, and they said, this is who belongs, the church split. A year later, our congregation split because the people who left St. John said, no, those people don't deserve God's love. Matthew 15 is the most disturbing passage in all of the Bible. Not the only one, but one of the most. But then we've got Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, if I could tattoo a Bible passage on my body, it'd be a full back piece. Yep, in small script. Because Isaiah 56 is wonderful. And Marla read it so well, and you know, listen to the word all as well as mercy. Isaiah 56, go home and read that after you read 15. Hundreds of years before Matthew and Jesus and that, we've got this prophecy. Thus says the Lord God, maintain justice and do what is right. Okay, we learned that in Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. Yeah. Justice and right. For my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Happy is a mortal who does this and the one who holds fast. And then I love this part. Listen carefully, confirmation students, past and present. You know who you are. You were in my first confirmation class. You better be smiling at me. Then comes this. Happy is the mortal who does this and who holds fast to it, who keeps the Sabbath and not profaning it. You're all wonderful people this morning because you're keeping the third commandment. After the first two commandments about God, then we have the most important commandment in the Hebrew faith. Forget kosher kitchens and keeping pots and pans clean and that and all those hygiene laws. The third commandment is the most important commandment out of all 10. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You are doing that today, whether you liked it or not. God says through the prophet Isaiah, that's what's important, keeping the Sabbath day and refraining from doing evil. Oh, by the way. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from God's people. And do not let the eunuch say, you all know what eunuch is, right? If you don't, ask me at coffee hour. Women and children are present. We're not going to do that education from the pulpit. Do not let the eunuch say, I'm just a dry tree. Pun intended. Because the worst thing for a man thousands of years ago in the Hebrew faith was to not to be able to bear children. I've had people in the Roman Catholic Church and in the LDS Church say, Pastor Beek, you're going to hell. Well, gee, thanks. You're not the only ones that told me that. Why? Because I have no children. You got to have children, be fruitful and multiply. What's wrong with you? Get on the stick, you know, get married, have 6 or 7 or 8 or 12 children. The worst thing for the Hebrew people was for a man not to be able to procreate. That's Abraham and Sarah, right? The very first story in the Bible, Abraham, chapter 12 of Genesis. They couldn't have children, so he had a slave, you know, Ishmael through Hagar, all that kind of stuff. Do not let the eunuch say, I'm just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, third commandment, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, my promises, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. Slap in the face to us who are the sons and daughters of God.
You who are here on Sunday morning keeping the Sabbath, you who belong to the church, God says, yeah, you're okay, my daughters and sons, but even the eunuchs will have a greater name in my kingdom. I love that. Better than sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off, pun intended, eunuchs. Even though they've been cut off, literally, they won't be cut off to God. And the foreigners, okay, let's get away from the whole gender thing and that. The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to God, love the name of the Lord, and keep God's servants, who keep the Sabbath. You keep hearing that over and over again, right? And to the foreigners who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast to my covenant, my promises, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice will be acceptable on my altar. What? She was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a Canaanite. She was a pagan. How dare Jesus show her mercy and compassion? And then this, and this is what Marla was referring to also. For my house, God says, shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. How dare God do that? Who does God think he is anyway? Making up the rules as he goes along. We're the ones that are in church on Sunday morning. What about all those other riffraff who are sleeping in or working with floodwaters or whatever? No. God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, us, sons and daughters, and gathers others to them besides those already gathered. I love Isaiah 56 because it's all right there. Who should God show his love to? You and me? Yes, we're here on the Sabbath. We're here on Sunday morning. But really? Do you deserve it? I won't confess anything from the pulpit this week. God deserves to show his love to the foreigners and the eunuchs and those who are dried up and cut off? Really? The outcasts? And so through her tenacity, through her trust and her faith, same word for faith in the Greek is trust, faith, and belief, through her trust and belief and faith in the Son of David, Jesus says, woman, your daughter is healed. And Matthew says, immediately she was healed. Again, the miracle is not the healing. Jesus can do anything Jesus wants, for he is the Son of God. He is the I Am. The miracle is that Jesus shows compassion to this foreigner. Jesus shows compassion to this woman. Jesus shows his compassion to this pagan person who's unclean. That went against all the rules of the church, all the rules of the Hebrew church, the synagogue and the temple. And yet Jesus breaks all the rules and heals her daughter. One of the most disturbing passages in the Bible is Matthew 15, 21 through 28. One of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, a back piece. Yeah? Forget grace upon grace on your wrist or something like that. All of Isaiah 56. My house is a house of prayer for all people. Who does God show God's love to? All people. Who does God show mercy and compassion to? All people. Really? Yes. Men, women, boys, girls, foreigners, nationals, reds, blues, conservative, liberal, whatever you want to, you know, classify people as. God loves you all. God loves them all. But for thousands of years, those have been fighting words. Because we know who the insiders are. We know who God's favorites are. It's like being the favorite child in a family, right? The oldest firstborn male. Yeah. My sister had no chance. Yet my sister, the female, the youngest of two in the family, is the Mother Teresa of them all. My sister, the caring, compassionate, merciful one to everyone in her family, including her brother. And God loves her just as much as God loves me. God loves her just as much as God loves you. Even though you're keeping the Sabbath, you are sons and daughters of God. God loves you in spite of yourself. Amen. I was told by the musician this morning that this is a new hymn. I told him, no, it's not a new hymn. We've done this before. And we have. But I think it's new for her. So we're going to follow how she plays. But hymn number 763, My Life Flows in Endless Song. I heard this again at a Methodist funeral years ago, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago at the Methodist Church. I went to a funeral there. And they sang it, and I was reminded of this hymn. It's a wonderful hymn. And since that funeral, we've sung it a number of times. But listen to the words. The words are fantastic as we sing this hymn. Hymn 763. Go home and look it up in your hymn books. I invite you to rise for the Confession of Faith, page 105, the Apostles' Creed, and for the prayers of the Church. The Apostles' Creed, page 105, we confess our faith in these same words. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and in hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today in the prayers of the church, remember in our prayers in the church, our bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Megan Manlove. We pray this whole month of August for St. John's Scholarship Fund, and we especially pray for all students who have received scholarships and those who have not, who are attending colleges, universities, or vo-tech schools in the weeks to come. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine, the war in Sudan. We pray for those who have lost, and I've got a whole other page. We pray for the people who have lost property and life due to the wildfires in Western Canada and Maui, Hawaii. I think it's up to 117 people now in Maui whom they found dead from that fire. We pray for the people of the Baja Peninsula, if you've been following the news, and Southern California, LA. Forget Miami, guys, or Georgia, you know, Atlanta, or Louisiana, New Orleans. We pray for Southern California, San Diego, where I have friends, and LA, where I have friends, and Nevada. They said that Hurricane Hillary coming up the Baja Peninsula may be really horrible. Rain. We thought we had rain on Thursday. Rain and flooding in LA, and it may go as far as Death Valley, Barstow, and Bakersfield, and then maybe even hit Las Vegas. And then I love the weathermen. I love the weathermen. They said it may hit Las Vegas, and it may go as far north as Utah or Idaho. It's like, we've already got it, folks. And that's what we're going to pray for next. Okay? Some people say that Hurricane Hillary has already hit us Thursday. Miracle Falls Community Church, formerly the Assembly of God across the park, had their ceiling fall in because of the rain on Thursday. So now they are celebrating today and the weeks to come their worship service at the Senior Center. Trinity Christian School, which is also in that same building, had already planned to move to the Head Start building at the end of the golf course, but they have to retrofit it for sprinklers and everything, and that hasn't happened. So the Trinity Christian School is going to be starting school tomorrow, like our public schools are, but they'll be at Willow Bay Baptist Church. And Willow Bay Baptist Church has been scurrying because they had a flood also Thursday, coming off their parking lot, down their ramp into their basement. And so in order to get ready for school, for the charter school, Trinity Christian School, they are scrambling. We had a little flood. Patty Porth and I, we mopped up two little puddles in our basement. The boys' bathroom underneath the sanctuary always floods. But it didn't wreck anything. We don't need to call the insurance company or anything like that. Patty got it all fixed. I watched. She and I did it, but I watched her do it, you know. I was a supervisor. We pray for all businesses, farms, and residential homes in American Falls. In the past 3 days, I've heard more and more of people's basements flooding, doors being pushed in, and window wells, basements flooding. So we pray for all those businesses, farms, and residential homes in American Falls who suffer from the rains also. But there's supposed to be more rain coming because it may be as far north as Idaho. And we're southern Idaho, so forget Las Vegas. And then we pray for all those who have been sick, hospitalized, or in need in any way. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. God of grace, trust, mercy, compassion, and faith, your faithfulness is never ending, and your righteousness becomes ours through Jesus the Christ. Send your church out to proclaim and share the gospel, breathe life into ecumenical conversations and relationships, and to support missionaries who go out to all the peoples of the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. You cherish your creation, protect fragile ecosystems, send favorable weather, supply food and water to nourish creatures great and small. We pray for all farmers and laborers in the fields. We pray for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, and wildfires, especially Canada and Maui. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Instill all leaders your desire.
Support the work of international peace organizations and provide relief for those in war-torn areas, such as Ukraine and Sudan. Promote peace across the world, in our towns, in our neighborhoods. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Hear us, O God. Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in mind, body, or spirit, especially those that we name before you in our own hearts and minds. Your steadfast love, grace, compassion, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Give hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all of the ministries we are a part of. We pray for all students of colleges, universities, and vo-tech schools. We pray for all students, teachers, and staff in our own school district as they begin tomorrow, the school year. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father. For the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
I'll just get up here like a big girl. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Marla Bethke and to Mary Annan. Happy birthday this week to Casey Kendall and Benson Taylor. Happy anniversary. Oh, there's no anniversaries. Did no one get married? Wow. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions? Nobody? Speak now. I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We will sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, your compassion, and your grace. And prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise for the great thanksgiving in preparation for the Holy Communion, found on page 144 in the front of the hymn. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Saying, take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the song, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymn. Thank you.
Rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Continue forever in the risen life of Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sending hymn, the recessional hymn is hymn number 537, On Our Way Rejoicing.